please keep your Bibles open there. Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. Beautiful day outside, isn't it? Absolutely. Choices and decisions. They sound similar. Well, we think they might mean the similar thing, but there is a slight difference. Choice is which one I prefer and the reasons for it, and decision is to act on that choice. So hand it over. I choose this one, hand it over. Similar but different. As way of illustration though, please picture, if you would, a young adult. You can see on the screen there, two paths. The first, the young adult chooses the path, which path, and then decides, all right, decision made, let's go. So you can see the difference there. Okay, my plan today, and the reason I raise this to begin with, is I'm going to jump between the two. Okay, it's hard to avoid one or the other, so I'm going to jump between the two. But I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll move into the sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we are who we are because of Jesus. Please help us to make him central in all that we do in life. And we pray this in his precious name. Amen. We live in a society where choice is king, where what matters most is choice. Life coaches say it all the time, choice is power. If you're battling negative thoughts, choose positive ones. That's what we hear. Or if you're struggling to eat well, choose to eat healthy. That's the advice that is given. What do you do next is up to you, they say. You're in control. You're in the driver's seat. If you don't like something, change it. Even in your darkest moments, we choose how we look at situations. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? If only I knew that earlier, it would have helped me in lots of different ways. I also went to the internet, and there are a lot of quotes about this, such as, a lot of people said things like quotes, famous people, successful people would say things like, we are what we choose, or we are our decisions, or our destiny hinges on choices, or one that seemed to pop up regularly on many websites where quotes were mentioned about choices was from Graham Brown. Life is about choices. Some we regret, some we're proud of. Some will haunt us forever. The message, we are what we choose to be. In other words, what completes me is my decisions. I lean on my own understanding. I am Lord of my life. That's the advice that the world around us gives us. Have you heard that? It's everywhere. Choice matters most. The Bible, on the other hand, should come up on the screen, but it's not. Here we go. There we go. The Bible, on the other hand, turns that on its head. The Bible teaches that life isn't primarily about making the right decisions, but about trusting the right Lord, which is Jesus. I'll say that again. The Bible teaches that life isn't primarily about making the right decisions, but trusting the right Lord, that is Jesus. Do you see that word primarily? Choice matters. Decisions are important. That's obvious, isn't it? Decisions are important. But what defines us is not our decisions. What defines us, who we are, is Jesus. He is our dignity, value, and worth. So let me compare the two. So what the world around us says with what the Bible teaches in the big picture. I've got three comparisons. We'll go with the first. I don't have it on the screen, so I'll just listen up. The world insists that your life is built on nothing less than your choices and decisions. The Bible teaches that your life is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The world says your destiny hinges on your choices. The Bible teaches that Jesus is your destiny. Jesus is your eternity. Or the world, you are what you choose. The Bible, you are who you say I am. And the who is Jesus. I think there's a song about that. You are who you say I am. So life isn't primarily about making the right decisions, but trusting the right Lord. And this is important because the fact is we all make wrong decisions from time to time. Now, of course, we've got to live with the consequences of our wrong decisions. Like if you speed, you're going to get a fine. If you steal or do something really bad, you might even go to jail. And so the last thing we want is to be defined by those decisions. If only I decided to, or if only I... We don't want a life like that. If only I chose to, and that defines me. It's making me miserable. We don't want to be like that, do we? It can leave us feeling condemned. See, perhaps some of us have made a wrong decision in life that even when we stand in front of the mirror, we can't even look ourselves in the eye because we're so disappointed by that decision. It's possible some of us are in that category. What we need is God to turn around our wrong decisions and make something good of it. What we need is Jesus to define us, to have the final say on who we are. Not our decisions. That's what we need. That's what we want. And that is critical. That is foundational. So you see, today I'm going to be talking about choices and decisions as believers. But unless we understand that Jesus defines us, it's just going to be another rules-based talk. It's just going to be another talk that makes the believer struggle with their identity. Make the believer feel like they're carrying a load when they should not be, because we are not defined by our decisions, whether right or wrong, as important as they are, but we are defined by Jesus. This is important to understand, particularly when you get a little bit older, things go wrong. We've got to remember as believers that is what defines us. All right. Let's start the talk, hey? All right, let's go. Well-known memory verse, this is going to be our key verse today, is from Proverbs 3. I remember one of the early verses I memorized in Scripture many years ago. Involves trust, and it does involve decision-making. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So all your heart, not just the corner of your heart, not just some of your heart, but all your heart. And do not lean. Now, of course, there's a place for reason. God gave us a brain. He wants us to use our brain, but he doesn't want us to make ourselves, lean on our own understanding, make ourselves Lord of my own life, ignoring God. He doesn't want that. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So this is keeping Jesus central in your life. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. And he will make straight your path. You see that word straight? In our society, straight is often seen as derogatory. You know, narrow-minded, restrictive, based on rules, straight. Or we might even think at times, when we hear the word straight, because we're affected by the society around us, we might even think, oh, straight, loss of adventure, you know, loss of enjoyment, losing that, loss of exploring that alternate path. That's what we might think, but it's not that at all. Straight means wise. God is aligning our thoughts and our plans with his. That's what's happening here when he makes straight paths. God is filling us with his word, filling us with the Bible. God is giving us wisdom. See, without God, there is no path to walk. See, straight path also doesn't mean an absence of hardship. Sometimes as believers in church, we hear straight path and we think, oh, it must be smooth sailing, everything's all right, no more hardship. No, not at all. Straight path doesn't mean an absence of hardship or mud-free prosperity. Not at all. Some of the straightest paths on earth are unsealed roads. And I used to live in Canada for a few years there, and there's plenty there. When it rains, when it snows, these roads turn muddy. Christian life can be like that. We live in a broken world, and the reality is that as a believer, at times life's going to be muddy and stormy, but you can still be on the straight path. You could be still on the, even though life is muddy or stormy, you could be still on the straight path, acquiring God's wisdom, growing as a Christian, learning to obey God while you're still on that path in a storm. You can still go, that can happen. See, a straight path doesn't mean we're going to get everything we want. God is very kind and we get lots and lots and lots. Family, relationship, gifts, lots of things we want to do. We can't, but it doesn't mean we're going to get everything we want. We're not going to necessarily get that relationship that we want, or that job, or maybe that health condition that we want. But we could still be on a straight path, trusting God, growing as a Christian. We've got to remember that. A straight path does not mean an absence of hardship. A straight path means wisdom, acquiring wisdom. He will make straight paths. He will do it. It's by grace. It's not up. We are not defined by our decisions. Up to us to do it. He will do it. He will make straight paths. Let me put it another way, to try and make it as clear as possible. He will make straight paths means he will make it clear with which paths to walk and which paths not to walk. Now, here we're talking about, in Proverbs, in this passage, we're talking about spiritual and moral issues, not necessarily career choices or relationships or holidays, even though there can be some crossover. So let me give you some examples. So, moral and spiritual issues. So I believe straight paths, should you be honest or dishonest? I think God makes that clear, honest. But should you take a holiday in Asia or Europe? He gave us a brain. We need to work that out. Can you see that? Spiritual or moral? I'll give you two more. Steal or not to steal? You're walking on the straight path. You're filled with God's word. You're going to know in your heart not to steal. Even the world around us, those who reject God, by God's common grace, they say, hey, you know, you're not to steal. So God makes that clear. But should you be a nurse or should you be a teacher? Well, ask others. God gave us a brain. We work these things out. Should be a plumber, electrician, whatever. Work that one out. Sometimes God tells you, often he doesn't. He gives us a brain. We need to work those things out. Or who should we marry? A believer or an unbeliever? This is the crossover. We know that God makes it clear that the believer should marry a believer. But which believer should we marry? You know? God gave us a brain. We need to work that out. Sometimes he'll tell you, but a lot of Christians will go through life and you need to work out which believer is best. But you know, one thing, spiritually, a believer should marry a believer. God makes that abundantly clear. That's the straight path. See, the fact is often, and this happens, and you'll know this, often we have to choose between two paths. And both paths are right. So God expects us to use his word, to be filled with his word, so we're in a position so we can make a decision. Or other times there are moral issues. And God with moral issues makes it super clear in the Bible or over time, because sometimes, you know, these still things, moral issues still need to be worked out, you know, in terms of lots of things in life, like people struggle with what to do with IVF and other examples like that. So it takes time, but straight paths means in 99% of the time, spiritual and moral issues are super abundantly clear. So some more examples. So moral, should you cheat, covet, murder, sex before marriage? The Bible makes that super clear, what we should do. Or spiritual, love God, love people. Jesus is the only way to the Father, saved by grace, not by works. The Bible makes that spiritual, moral, or spiritual here, super clear. And I believe that's what the straight path here in Proverbs chapter 3 is talking about. So, life is primarily about trusting the right Lord. And when we do, he will make straight paths on issues in relation to spiritual and moral. And I think that's what Proverbs 2 and 3 are talking about. And so the author to the Proverbs, in this particular part of Proverbs, Solomon, he gives benefits and blessings of these straight paths. And it'll come up on the screen, the next benefits of straight paths in Proverbs 2. There's a relationship with God who is sovereign. That's a spiritual issue. You'll understand, and I'm giving you some examples. You know, I encourage you to read it at home again in full, chapter 2 and 3. I'll just give you some examples. Understand justice, equity, every good path, including how to avoid those who take you down the side path, the wrong path, verses 9 to 19. It's like a moral issue here. Able to live wisely, how God wants you to live. That's the end of chapter 2. It's a spiritual moral issue. Or we move to chapter 3. Blessings of a straight path in Proverbs 3 include God's favour, his guidance and success. And so one example is verse 4. So you will find favour and good success. So this in relation to making spiritual decisions as their moral decisions. This is not in relation to, say, the prosperity gospel in the sight of God and man. So you'll be wise. You know, you won't go around ripping people off because you know that's dishonest. Or you won't go around declaring that there is another way to the Father. You won't do that because you have the blessings of the straight path. Or another example, the second half of chapter 3, verses 13 to 35. You'll do better in life. You'll know how better to treat others when you're filled with God's wisdom, his word. You'll have more confidence. And verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught, or in other words, going down the wrong path. And so we know that if you live God's way, What will that result in? Well, you basically will do better in life, I believe. You know, the world's broken and it, you know, not everything works out for everybody, but overall, there's a reason why Bible belts tend to be in middle class areas, because if you live God's way, you know, disciplined, you avoid, you know, moral issues that can bring you down, various things, you generally do better at school and you generally do better in life. And you can live everywhere, but, and I know, you know, it's a broken world. Our hope is not in the things of this world. But if we live God's way, there's studies that have been done that you will do better. Religious people will live longer. And, you know, the atheist doesn't want to hear that, but studies, it doesn't take much to look up on the internet and find you will do better. You will. You live God's way. You avoid certain vices that can harm you. It extends your life. And so you will do better in life. You'll know how better to treat others, love your neighbour. You'll have more confidence because you fear the Lord, not what other people think of you. Yeah, it takes time. Absolutely. You know, we've got to grow up and to take years, but we will, over the years, do better. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught down the wrong path. Therefore, what should we do? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and understanding. Therefore, what should we do? How should we live? Well, we will go back to our key verse. Life presents multiple paths, moral, spiritual. Let us remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight, by his grace, he will make straight your paths. And so acknowledge him. Basically, what is wisdom fulfilled? What is acknowledging him, who is Lord, who died on the cross, who rose again? It's acknowledging Jesus, isn't it? It's keeping Jesus central. His word is a lamp unto our feet for the believer. He is wisdom fulfilled. I talked about that last week. Who is wisdom ultimately? Jesus is God's wisdom, God's power. And so if we want to acknowledge him and live on that straight path spiritually, morally, so we know how to live, we've got to work at keeping Jesus central. And so when we pray, we do that. We pray in Jesus' name. When we read the Bible, we remember that his word is our authority. We do not lean on our own understanding. Of course, it's important to use our brain, but ultimately we lean on God's understanding, his word. That's keeping Jesus central, isn't it? When we choose churches, we choose churches that teach Jesus faithfully, his word faithfully. I remember a number of years ago meeting a person who was a very capable person who was offered a fantastic job overseas. And they really wanted to go, but she said no, because there was no decent church in the area. And that was most important, keeping Jesus central in her life. So she would make sure that she walks on that straight path and not drift or get distracted. When we're in a storm, in a messy relationship, when we encounter setbacks, when we make a budget, when we're trying to work out who to marry, when we're trying to work out how we're going to find someone to marry, keep Jesus central. When the road is muddy, inevitably life brings storms. When the road is muddy, we've got to work out keeping Jesus central. Coming to church, meeting with his people, reading the Bible, work out what it means to keep Jesus central, that we can be sure, assured that we remain on his path, God's path, the best path, the straight path. when we're facing an uncertain path or future, when we're dealing with aging parents, when we're dealing with what to do with children in our care, when we want to know how to treat our neighbour, are we able to forgive what's taken place in our lives? What do we do with this bitterness deep down in my heart? Or what do we do with this anger on my heart? We've got to work out keeping Jesus central. Otherwise, we will go down the side path. We will be held captive to other people's opinions. When we have a choice to lean on our own understanding or lean on God's understanding, we've got to work at looking at what it means to keep Jesus central. When there's a choice to follow the world down a path or follow God, we've got to keep Jesus central. And I think about Jesus' ministry in the Bible through the Gospels. That's the very thing Jesus did. Every opportunity he went in solitude to pray to his Father. He kept his Father central in all that he did and does, who he is, at the right hand of the Father now risen. The Father is central. And so, to end, I want you to imagine a uni student. Now, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, but I do think that this is true of hundreds of Christian uni students around the country who are believers, you know, Christian believers. I want you to imagine this uni student. I'm going to pick on the University of Queensland because I don't think anyone goes there from here. It'd be a long way to travel, but maybe you're online study, I don't know. But University of Queensland, this student graduated in business, became an insurance expert. That's the path that his parents wanted him to take, but he hated the job. He hated the job. And in the end, in his late 20s, he quit. And he regretted that decision, ever studying that subject. In the end, he quit, but he was a believer. And over time, he learnt not to be defined by that decision that he made to please others, but he learnt to be defined by Jesus. And he had a choice also in his 20s to marry a non-Christian. But he decided to wait for a believer because he went to church. He was around other believers. He listened to God's word. He wanted to be defined by Jesus. And so even though there was a very attractive girl he wanted to marry who was not a believer, he decided no. He had to break it off. He had to wait. Well, he wanted to wait for a believer. He wanted to remain on that straight path. Today, now he's married, father of children, he's happy, he's working, horticulture, sounds ordinary, often life is ordinary, but the thing is he kept Jesus central. He wanted God made his paths straight. That's what he wanted. So life is primarily about trusting the right Lord, keeping Jesus central in all that we do, and then being assured that he will make for us straight paths. Let's pray.